everlasting. Your love in kindness is everlasting. Your faithfulness is everlasting. Your mercy is everlasting. And we need you. We need your work. We need your life. And we thank you that you have provided life to us. We thank you you've given us your word. So we come right now and say, okay. Frail, frustrated, confused. Here we are. You got us here. Please, have mercy again. Teach us what we need to know. Show us what we need to see and speak to that scar. Speak to that hurt deep inside that we might be changed in our view of you. That we might be more wholehearted, more trusting, more at peace in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the persecution. Father, we want to prepare, but we got brothers and sisters that are in it and have been in it for decades. Would you show grace to them today? Protect them as they gather. Protect their heart that they be bold witnesses for you. And, oh Lord, would you use your truth today to transform us that we might be bold light regardless of how we feel. So speak through me, Father, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't get it, God. I did everything you asked me to do. I was your man. I was faithful. I told the truth, even the hard truth. What has it got me? Ridicule. Rejection. Imprisonment. I declared the truth of your son. And yet, I sit here in prison, in this stinking, filthy cell. I declare, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I explain the Messiah to them. I even welcomed the dregs and called them to repentance. And you know I had no mercy on hypocrites. I declared the truth regardless of the cost. And so I'm imprisoned for obeying you. You knew this would happen, didn't you? I just did what you told me to do. It's what your word said. He is an adulterer. Yet now here I sit, paying the price for my obedience. How And what do I wait for? My release? You and I both know that's not going to happen. I await my execution. You can't speak to a king that way and not expect to pay the price. But how? How does this glorify you? It's eliminated my ministry. I'm humiliated before the nation. Now, he gets the crowds, and I get the rats. Was I wrong? How could a Messiah leave the prophet, the forerunner, in prison to his death? How could he? Is he the Messiah? Was I wrong? Is he the one? Or should we look for someone else? Persecution cuts deep. It tests our belief. It tests our character. It tests our obedience to the Word of God. In times of pain, I believe you really discover what you truly believe. What you say you believe is one thing, but what you act when it hurts reveals what you really believe. So, sometimes in those dark days, even God's most anointed servants discover they're disappointed with God. John certainly was the one who had said, "This is the Lamb of God," sent a message from prison saying, "Are you the one? Or do we look for someone else?" The one who said he's the one said, "Are you the one?" We can have great doubts, particularly in times of pain. But what do you do with it? You see, because problems, pain, persecution can destroy your faith if you're not careful. That God didn't send those things or allow those things to destroy your faith, but to develop it. So how's it working for you? Are you disappointed with God? You know, hard times reveal your real heart. They reveal your real soul. It's hard to say you're disappointed with God for some people. And yet, just take a little inventory. Are you praying like you used to pray? Have you pulled back from service? Are you just kind of going through the motions? Friends, disappointment with God is nothing new to believers. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New. But it's crucial that we learn how to process our circumstances and our feeling about those circumstances so that we would grow our faith rather than walk away from our faith. Because the Bible says in the last times, many will walk away. Many's hearts will grow cold. So there's some people who show us and teach us about this, and I'd like to introduce you to them or show you some truths about them. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to look at this idea of when God disappoints you. And for some of you today, this is going to be encouraging just because you can admit you're disappointed. For others of you, it's going to be disturbing because I'm going to be tapping on a closet you've had locked up very kindly and very carefully, and it's not going to be comfortable to know that God knows what you're dealing with. It's okay. Let's walk it out with Him and see where He takes us. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, He will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on the behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. He says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, about our affliction. Now, Paul wasn't a sappy person liking to talk about his pain, but he wanted to teach a point, I believe. And he does that in several places. He brings out the story of the pain he went through. So why would he want the Corinthians, and why would God want us, to know about how bad it got? Because I believe affliction oftentimes leads to discouragement. I believe oftentimes people don't expect it to. They think, if I'm walking with Jesus, if I'm in God's will, I will always be okay. You will be. It just won't feel like it. You see, if you're in God's hands, you are always okay. You have an okay eternity, isn't that right? But it doesn't feel okay today for some of you. Because some of you are dealing with news from a doctor. Or some of you are dealing with papers that somebody sent you in the mail. Some of you are dealing with stuff and you're not knowing where to go with this thing. And it can tear your faith down or it can build it up. Paul says we were burdened what? Excessively. Now, isn't that editorial? It was too much. God put too much on us. He allowed this much. In fact, he says, beyond our strength, so we despaired even of life. What's that mean? It's called suicidal. Several people in Scripture got there. Say, I don't even want to live anymore. We don't think we're going to live anymore. We don't want to live anymore. And yet, some people, and I know I'll rattle some cage, but I like rattling cages. I'm sorry. I just do. But people will say this. They'll say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. God always gives you more than you can handle. So you won't handle it without Him, but you'll handle it through Him. That's the point. He brings you to it, so He'll take you through it. But it will be more than you can handle. And some people at that point, when they hit the more than, the excessively afflicted stage, then give up on God rather than go on. And that's why I believe He wants us to look at this. That's why I want you to look at this today. Is because he says here in verse 9, is we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that, remember that's telling you the focal point here, so that what? We would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We trust ourselves too much. I trust myself too much. And then I'm always shocked. I'm always so disappointed with myself. I don't think you should be disappointed with yourself. Yep, you're still acting like yourself. The only problem was you're disillusioned because you had an illusion about yourself that God has to expose to you when you go through difficulty. And say, nope, you're not where you think you are. And so that's part of the purpose of pain in your life, is to say, okay, let's move forward here. And we go, oh, I'm already there. Oh, really? And God just allows the difficulties to come so that you'll discover who you are, that you might discover what? Who He is. That's what it's about. And who He is. He says, we despaired, but we wouldn't trust in ourselves. Why? We would trust in the God who raises the dead. We have a resurrection religion. We have an all-powerful God. We have a God who takes that which is dead and brings it to life. So there is nothing beyond His capacity to do, but there's lots beyond yours. And trials reveal that. Pain reveals that. You can think you're strong in this life until your body tells you otherwise. And it is not a fun lesson. I'm just saying, but it's a good lesson. Do you understand that? Because you'll learn not to trust in yourself. So I have to get that lesson. So here's your first principle. Being burdened beyond our strength teaches us to depend on God's strength. You say, okay, I'm God's person. Okay, then He allows the trials to come that you might depend more fully upon Him and reveal Him more fully in your situations. See, when you run and I run out of strength, where do we go? You see, there is a tendency sometimes. To get so frustrated. You've prayed so long. You've waited so far. To say, God's not coming through. See, many people give up on God. When actually, they should give up on themselves. Hey, I kind of make people uncomfortable sometimes. And they say, man, I just feel like giving up. I said, good, you should. Give up. See, some of you are so strong. I mean, I respect strong character. I respect strong drive. I understand that. But yet, it leads you to trust yourself in places when you ought not to be. And you say, no, I'm not trusting Him here. I'm not trusting me here. I'm going to trust Him. Listen, you've got a heartache. You've got a habit. You've got an addiction. You got a pattern that you're so ashamed of. And you're so tired. And you've prayed. And you've asked God to change that circumstance. You've asked God to break through on that spot. And it hasn't happened. He didn't answer the prayer the way you prayed. No matter how long you prayed. No matter how hard you prayed. No matter how much you prayed. And so now you said, what? God doesn't. Don't be interpreting God by your circumstances. You interpret God by the Word of God. That is the only accurate representation you'll ever have. But listen, you have to give up on you to step up into Christ. It's important, friends. And that means you have to deal with your pride. Because God is a great deliverer. Just most people have a hard time realizing they need to be delivered from themselves. Go read Romans 7. You read Romans 7? You need to be delivered from yourself. There is a battle going on in your flesh. Take it back to Him. He says here, Paul says, we were burdened excessively. Now look, here's the danger. I want to point out to you how you end up in this spot where it pulls you down rather than builds you up, all right? Because sometimes we're like, we start the day well and you end up in the ditch. Right? And most people don't plan on ending up in the ditch. But here's where I want to go. And how does that happen? Okay, well, he says this. He says, we were burdened excessively. True? True. Yes, they were. Horrible things were happening. Beaten. You go through Paul's life, how many times he was beaten? With rod, 39 times the Jewish stripes, 5 times with the Romans, shipwrecked 3 times, a day and a night left over out at sea. This guy had it hard. He said, we were burdened excessively. But be careful with your conclusions of your observations. You can have accurate observations, but your conclusions can be way off base. See, because his conclusion is what? So that we would not, we despaired of life, we gave up on ourselves, all right? So we would not trust in ourselves. See, there is a danger of deception because we can misread reality. John the Baptist sitting in prison saying, no deliverance for me equals what? Maybe he's not the deliverer. Do you see that? Is he telling the truth? No deliverance for me? Yeah. He's got an accurate perception of himself. I am in prison. My life in ministry as I knew it is over. True story. But what's the conclusion? God's going to bring more glory through your death. Oh. See, but what's he saying? Well, maybe he's not the Messiah. See, in those places of pain, friends, there's a question that comes in about the truth. And you know, there's been somebody asking questions since Genesis chapter 3. Did God say? You know what I'm talking about? There's that temptation to doubt what God has declared. And so we interpret our circumstances by our feelings, by our logic and our perception, rather than by what? The Word of God. This is the only accurate declaration of truth we've got. It is the authority for life and practice daily. I got to be in it daily. I don't know why I'm so weak, but friends, I've been in this book. Ooh, scary. 45 years or more. I still need it every day. And I tell you what, my wife can tell if I skip it. Just saying. All right? So I need that perspective because I interpret life differently when I'm not rooted in the Word. So what happens? We can misread it. There's so many different ones in Scripture. I don't have time to go through them all, but I just wanted to just stir a couple thoughts to your mind. Do you remember Elijah? Man of God. Oh, you read his stories. This is a man who walked with God. He got his meals delivered by God. Catered by a raven, but catered, okay, from God. All right? And yet, he has this powerful encounter on Mount Carmel, right? Knocks off 400 prophets of Baal. That's not a bad day. Okay? He sees fire fall from heaven. The nation Israel says, oh, God is God. We'll worship him. 24 hours later, where is he? Running for his life. Running for his life. We find him down in the south desert of Israel in a cave. And God says to Elijah, why are you here? And you can read that story. It's very interesting. Elijah says, I've served you, I've done everything, and I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away. Are they seeking his life? Yup. True story. But when you're there, you can misread the rest of the story. I alone am left. True? No. 7,000. 7,000 that did not bow the knee. He was not alone. But he felt alone. Do you understand that? So that's what I'm talking about. Be careful about the deception issues. All right? Because you can feel something, but it doesn't mean it's true. David, I am so glad that God gave us his journal. You know, that's what the Psalms are, right? That's David's daily quiet time. All right? Turn to me, if you would, to Psalms 22. I want to read a psalm that you're familiar with a little bit. And why don't you recognize that this psalm is both a looking forward to the Messiah and a declaration of David's expression at the time. Psalms 22, we find these words in a verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I have no rest. You ever felt like that? We go through those times. Godly people go through those times. So if you're in that time, don't be wondering, well, am I godly or ungodly because I'm going through? No, that's what happens to godly people. That's part of the process. If you've never had a dark night, you might be checking your calendar or your soul. But listen, this is how he's feeling. What? God has forsaken. Does God forsake? No. Never. But can you feel forsaken? Absolutely. You can feel forsaken without being forsaken. So be careful what you say. See, I always say it's helpful when you're talking to yourself, and we all do. It's good company. That you talk about your feelings rather than realities. I feel forsaken rather than saying, I am forsaken. I feel alone. We have to wrap ourselves in a perspective around truth. All right? And in those places, it's important that you then tell yourself the truth. Now, Elijah, when he's on the side of the mountain, all right, in the cave, he gets revelation truth, right? But that's what builds perspective for him to ever get out of his cave. And some of you are never going to get out of your cave until you hear from God, until you allow God to speak to you from his word, and you say, yes, that's the truth for me. I will walk that out. God still had plans for Elijah. Great things were still done through him. But he was in a dark spot. But when you're in the dark spot, you have to tell yourself the truth. Look what David does here in Psalms 22. I love this. So many of the Psalms are like this. So you can read through and you'll see some of the, what I call the happy Psalms, and then you'll see some of the depressing Psalms, and there's even some very angry Psalms, okay? But Psalms 22, verse 3. Now, verse 2, he just said, I cry by day, you do not answer. By night, I have no rest. Ever been there? No rest at night? You can't sleep? Oh, that's so frustrating. But look at this. He tells himself the truth. Yet you are holy. Oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and they were delivered. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. But see, he goes back to a perspective of truth. He says, this is the truth. You are holy. You are deliverer. I am not delivered, but you are deliverer. See, don't interpret God by your circumstances. Interpret God by the Word of God. Amen. You can feel forsaken without being forsaken. In the garden, when Jesus was praying, what did he pray? Take this cup away. Did God answer his prayer? No. Told him no. See, I think there's this tendency to say, you know, if I pray, if I'm rightly aligned with God, I can ask and God will give. What will glorify God? That's what God will give. That's what he always says. He says, take this away. And the Father, and then what he had to come to, what? Not my will, but yours be done. In the circumstance that you're in, can you come to that place with the Father? Say, not my will, but yours be done. You see, before he went to the garden in John 16, if you want to turn with me there, you can. I'm going to flip over there. I'm not going to stay there long, but we'll run you around just a little bit. He's talking about the end. And what does he say? John 16, 32. He says, an hour is coming and already has come for you to be scattered, each to his own home. He says, you're going to all abandon me. And he knows it's coming. But that doesn't mean it's not going to hurt just because he knows it's coming. All right? Just because you know the nurse is going to give you a shot doesn't mean it don't hurt. Okay? Because you know something difficult is going to happen because God said it's going to happen doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It still hurts. You're going to still feel this. I'm not talking about not feeling these things. I'm talking about the conclusion you make about your feelings. Are you with me? I mean, does this make any sense? All right. Look what he says. You'll be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. And I love this. And yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. He doesn't even allow himself to go down into that basement. Oh, I'm just alone. No, no. You're going to all abandon me. You're going to deny me. One of you already sold me out. But I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Friends, a very important truth for you to say in dark nights, in dark days, in painful moments is, I am not alone. Can you say that with me? I am not alone. That is the truth, friends. That is the truth of the Word of God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am not alone. I may be in great pain. I may be highly disappointed. I may be facing trauma that I never wanted to face. But I am not alone. And that strengthens me. See, that's why I look at my circumstances, but I tell myself the truth. See, that's what keeps you out of the ditch. The truth. You know, my wife helps with that. You know, we're driving down the road. That's the fog line. Just telling you the truth. You know, just trying to let you know. I say somebody's got to use that part of the road or it's just going to sit there unused. And they paid that, my taxes paid for that. Somebody ought to use that portion of the road. But anyway. He says here, back here in 2 Corinthians 1:10, He delivered us from so great a peril of death, and He will yet deliver us. Wait. He delivered us, He will deliver us. Wait a minute. Do you see this present tense experience He's walking through? He's expecting God's deliverance. He's believing God's deliverance before He has it. He who delivered us from great peril of death and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, He will yet deliver us. It's not over. Friends, faith will keep you from despair. You got to believe you have a deliverer. And the deliverance for some of us is glory. There's brothers and sisters of ours around this world. That's their translation today. Is God, will you deliver me? And it is not being spared the sword. It's being given life forever in heaven. They're dying for their faith. And their deliverer has delivered them home to glory. There is a deliverance, friend. It's not the way we tend to want the deliverance. But you got to keep your eyes on Him. Because He's the one on whom we set our hope. I love Psalms 27, 13 and 14. David said this. I just really enjoy this. He said, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, it's one thing to know I'm going to see. I know there's pie in the sky by and by. But I don't know about you, but I like my meat and potatoes today. All right? And what David says is, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so then what does he say? He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I have a God who's worth waiting for. Do you? He's worth waiting for. You can trust Him in any situation. And so when you're in that spot, when you're in that persecution, when you're in that pain, you need to believe that He's still coming through. And for the people around you, you need to be believing. Do you notice how He gets into that in verse 11? He says, join us in helping through your prayers so that many thanks may be given. And by the way, just a freebie, we do not leverage God by lining more people up praying. Okay, we've got 25 people praying. If we can get 25 more, we can talk God into this. That's not the point. He says what the point is here. That many thanks will be given. We get more people involved in prayer. Not because we can convince God to do something He doesn't want to do. We're agreeing with what God wants. That's what prayer is. But it's because more glory goes to God when more people say, God, we're depending on You to break through and bring deliverance here. That's what prayer is about. Okay, that's free. So Paul goes into this in another place. People, when you pray through pain, it will strengthen you and it will strengthen those you're praying for. And oftentimes what we're praying for is what? We want pain removed. I'm so thankful many of you have prayed that for me. And I'm looking for that day. I'm not experiencing that day, but I'm looking for that day. But I'm learning from my Savior in my pain. And that's, I believe, what's more important. And so that's one of the things to say. When you're in this pain, when you're in this predicament, when you're in this persecution, God, what do you want to teach me? As opposed to, please get me out now. Learn your lessons. Pain's part of the plan. It's part of the pruning that makes your soul more responsive to the Savior. That's what I'm learning. And something else. This is interesting. It's over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know, this is a whole other sermon, but I'm going to give it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 5 to 11. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord. Can I say that again? We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are what? Afflicted in every way. But not crushed. We are perplexed, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. When you're in the midst of the persecution, remember this. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. That's not just a doctrine, friends. That's a lifestyle. So you're in the midst of the pain. What? It's not about you. Go ahead. Help that person next to you. Tell them, it's not about you. Go ahead. It's not. It's not about you. See, but boy, when we're there, it sure feels like it's about us, isn't it? No. It's about Christ. Will I manifest Jesus Christ as Lord by the way I live through my pain, the way I live in my pain, in my problem? Will Jesus be exalted? That's the issue. And so following Christ, this is your second principle. Following Christ, regardless of what happens to you, lets Christ show through. When you're in that spot, you know, okay, God is going to deliver me, but how am I going to live in it now? That's the opportunity that we have to show Jesus to this world, to live in it now. See, all of us can give God praise when we've made it through. Hallelujah, I'm delivered. Who can't say hallelujah when you win? It's when you're behind. It's when you're in pain. It's when you don't see the answer and you say, yes, he's still God. He's great. He's glorious. He's the Lord. That's when lordship shows up. See, it's not after, it's in. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. That's a critical factor, friends, because we got a bunch of sniveling Americans. I'm sorry. And we want comfort far more than we want character. And God wants your character more than your comfort. And he is more than willing to take it away to produce character in you. Because that's what you prayed for. That's what I prayed for. I want to be more like him. And whatever it takes, that's what I want. And so whatever comes, I have to say, yes, Lord, thank you very much. Ouch. It's okay. You can say ouch to God. I do all the time. But we have, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yep, that's us, fragile, frail. You and I are tested daily. We're tried daily to develop us, not to destroy us, to grow our faith. And so as we respond to pain and problems, it allows Jesus Christ to be expressed. Have you ever noticed when you're in pain, it tends to affect the way you relate to other people. Oh, yeah. Getting a little grumpy there, aren't you? All right. What's that about? Remember what we said? We don't want to manifest ourselves. We want to manifest Christ. When you have no pain, you can manifest you. I am happy without pain. That's me. My flesh can be happy without pain. But when I'm in pain, and I'm still happy, and I'm still gracious, and I can still choose to be kind, I wish I always did. I don't. But that's when I do. What? That's the manifestation of Christ. And that's what he's saying here. We have this treasure. Remember I talked about that a few weeks ago? I don't know, maybe it was a month or more ago. The jar of peaches, the whole idea that the treasure is what's in the jar. It's not the jar. You're the jar. The treasure is Christ inside of you. That's what people are interested in. Let that show up. So we have this treasure so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God. I don't want people to look back at James and go, wow, he was really something. I want people to look at Jesus and say, whoa, he was really something. Look what he did with that donkey. Yeah, he knows how to talk through anybody. That's the reality, friends, is when we see that it's what Jesus does, that's reality. When we're afflicted in every way, but we don't let it crush us. See? When we're perplexed, but you don't let it push you into despair. When you're persecuted, but you will refuse to say, I'm forsaken. See? When you're struck down, but you say, I am not yet destroyed because I have a body and I'm going to use it to bring God glory. See, whatever you go through is to let Christ shine through, show through. That's the whole thing, friends. Just think about that. Whatever you're going through, this is to let Christ shine through you. And so your response does what? It reveals what you believe. Every time. It may not match your doctrinal statement, but it's revealing what you're believing right there, right now. It did with Elijah, it did with David, it did with John the Baptist. Did they lose their salvation? No. Did they wrestle with dark days? Yes. Believers do. It's when you deny that you've got them that you have even darker days. Deal with your closets, friends. Your response is revealing this, and you can exalt Jesus in your pain. Because what do these situations do? When I'm not the Lord of my life, and when pain or problems deprive me of my greatest pleasures and my deepest desires, and I still say God is good, then He indeed is Lord. But if in those places I can't say you're good, then I'm still on the throne. And we call that idolatry. Jesus is Lord. I want to live that out. I want to encourage you to live that out. I'm encouraged by so many of you. I see living that out, making difficult decisions to walk with God in difficult places. I just want to encourage you, abound still more. Because it's demonstrated and expressed by your attitude and your actions. And it was pictured for us upon that cross by a man who chose to say, not my will, but yours be done. And then he said this, and I think, you know, you think about it, what is the most Christ-like thing that Jesus did on the cross? Well, it was all Christ-like because it was Christ, right? Well, this is my idea what the most Christ-like thing Jesus did on the cross was. Read this with me. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. I have a hard time with that verse. I'm like, yes, they do. They know exactly what they're doing. He says, Father, forgive them. Friends, forgiving your persecutors reveals your Savior. Some of you got family that's still after your height. Some of you got coworkers that they are still making life miserable for you. Forgiving your persecutors reveals your Savior. Listen, the world seeks vengeance. The world wants to do payback. The world wants to do violence. The world wants to claim its rights. I want you and I to see it from God's side and say, faith says, I can let that go. I got a judge that's going to handle this far better than I could. Is that true? By the way, he'll deal with it far more thoroughly than you could. For those of you that really want the vengeance, go ahead. Take it yourself or let somebody deal with it right. I know, that's a twisted way to motivate you. But if you're following Jesus, isn't this the lifestyle of the forgiven? Stephen. Stones being thrown. He's just finished preaching the gospel. The people he gave the gospel to, the people who were authorities in the word of God, picked up stones and stoned him. And he said what? Father, don't put this on their account. And standing there was a man who I don't think ever recovered. Because he saw Christ in someone as he died. And when Christ came to him, he said, okay, whatever you ask of me. And Saul became Paul. Friends, your lifestyle is a testimony when you live it under pain for him. And I don't know, this may not make any sense to you, because if your faith is not in Christ, this is all ridiculous. But here's the testimony I give to you. Acts 10:43. That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. If you've never put your faith in Christ, the rest of this stuff doesn't make any sense to you. I just want you to say, trust the one who died for you. And then we start this journey. If you've never turned it over to him, I'm not talking about have you come to church. I'm not talking about have you ever prayed. I'm talking about have you given your life to him and said, I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Save me. I can't do it. If you've never been there, today is the day of salvation. Pray. Ask him. And then for those of you that have, what do you know? The basic message is this. Disciples, follow Jesus. And Jesus went to a cross. And Jesus said, pick up your cross. This is not a new message. I know it seems like it to people. Had someone just the other day say, James, I've never heard a message on persecution in America. I'm sorry. This is the truth of the gospel. We follow him not because we get all that we want, because he is all that we need. So John, it didn't seem right or fair, but it was still God's plan. And you know what? He asked that question. He couldn't get out of prison, so he sent to ask God. And some of you may feel just like this. You can't even get out of your prison to ask Jesus what you need to ask him. That's what prayer is you just call out to him. But when he called out, he says, are you the one, or should we look for someone else? Is that a respectful request? Not really by my book. Sorry, John. Okay. But you know what? He got an answer. And you know what the cool thing what Jesus said? It's so awesome. It's in Luke 7:22. I'm not going to go there. But he says, hey, you go back and tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And you know what Jesus is doing right there? He's reading the scripture. Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah, the one who said there's a forerunner coming. Jesus is reading it right back to the forerunner. He's giving him the truth that he needs to hold in his pain. And then he finishes with one little statement. And I missed this for years. And he says, blessed is the one who doesn't stumble over me. You see, because it could be easily said, if you're the Messiah, you would get me out of prison because I'm your forerunner. It makes perfectly logical sense to me. It probably make logical sense to you. It certainly did to John, but he didn't stumble over him. Friends, persecution is endured by stepping up in faith. Don't step back in fear. Step up in faith. Tell yourself the truth. Depend on God in your pain. And follow Jesus regardless. Because God is not disappointing. He is delightful. Life is disappointing. God is delightful. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your toil, your pain, your hardship is not in vain in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's tell him. Father, we just come to you this morning. Sorry for our attitudes. We really do prefer comfort to character. We'll just confess it. That's the way this flesh is. You know our flesh. And as you reveal our flesh to us, can we turn it over to you and say, go ahead, prune it. Father, I pray for the brother or sister here that's been walking away or just been struggling with staying on with the kingdom. Will you meet them right here, right now? They haven't seen that prayer answered and they have never been able to figure out why you didn't answer, and yet your will, not ours, be done. You are the deliverer. Even if you don't deliver us in the way that we ask, you're still the deliverer. You're still good. You're still loving. We don't understand it all, but we understand this. Jesus Christ is Lord. So be Lord over us. Be Lord over our families. Be Lord over our marriages. Be Lord over our children and our grandchildren. Be Lord over this country, even as it rebels over you. Bring yourself glory through us, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.